episode 2 of Worst Appendix Ever. It's a little bit, I'm on one of my normal jungle treks, and it's quite windy, but I'm now in under trees and stuff, so hopefully you're not going to hear like a tornado. But if you do, and this podcast suddenly stops, you'll know what happened. I was carried away. So yeah, it's been a little while since, probably about, I think, maybe even a month since first episode of this podcast. And I dealt with it, that kind of gap, briefly on the other podcast I've been doing, From Here to Infinity, the Marvel Ramble podcast. But basically, this one is much harder to do because obviously it's much more personal, and I'm still kind of knee deep in the middle of recovery, getting better, trying to find myself again, I guess. It's just harder to talk about. Whereas if I'm ranting about Transformers or Marvel or Stranger Things, it's kind of much easier to walk through the woods talking to yourself about that stuff than real life issues, which is what this podcast is all about. And at the same time, it's quite a hard time for me personally. So again, this is probably quite difficult to talk about. I'm not really sure how much depth I'm going to end up going in. But I've been, you know, trying to work out for a while what I was going to... Wind's picking up. Oh, this is okay. What I was actually going to talk about. But then I just thought, I've written down a few ideas, but it's... You know, I'm just going to come on mic, be honest, see what happens. I've been... And you know, future episodes of this will be much more structured and have I guess more of a point. He said, narrowly trying to avoid some horse shit that is on the floor. Much more of a... there's a bit of a mysterious kind of bit to walk through here. I'm just going through that for my own amusement. I'm going to end up on another field and the wind is going to... how's this going to sound? And actually, maybe it's better being out here. Last week I've been... let's recap on where I am. I think it was around 12 weeks ago, it's just over 3 months, I spent time in hospital for appendicitis, very bad appendix. It had been, basically poisoned my body, etc, etc. I went through all this on the last podcast, so they're not in massive detail, I don't think. Perhaps that's a something to look forward to in a future episode. But during that process of recovery, so from the minute you wake up and there's all these tubes coming out of you, you know, you've got... I had a catheter, I had a drain. So the drain was kind of under my stomach, just above the groin region, and that's to take out all the pus, I guess, or whatever, from the actual, where they were doing the surgery. I had oxygen tube in, I had cannulas, so I had IV antibiotics going in, all sorts, really. So from that, and you know, you're in a lot of painkillers, and you're still tripping from the anaesthetic, but the pain is immense. I couldn't really move. Nothing worked. So in terms of going to the, well, my whole, you don't feel anything. Like normally you can feel stuff working, like a little, you know, stomach rumbling or anything like that. You don't feel anything, which is quite bizarre. I didn't feel anything for like 3 days, and then it all starts working again, your body, gradually and not properly. But the best way the thing I equate it to is, you know, when you hold down the two buttons on your iPhone, if it something goes wrong and you have to reset it, it's that. And except the coming back to life with the Apple logo. It's still my Apple logo isn't fully back, even now. So yeah, from when you wake up after surgery, that's it. In a way, your life has changed, and boy, my life has changed. It's you know, excuse my French, it's fucking crazy what's happened to me. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, I'm talking to you right now to try and make sense of it, I guess. But this is the initial period of it, the initial recovery still. Is trying to make sense of what happened and then utilize it and use it positively, which, you know, when I was high on drugs after it in hospital or at home, I had all these ideas to do stuff. I was going to use all this newfound knowledge, because when you have a near-death experience, you know, I did see life. I saw things much more clearly than I had done previously, and it's almost like it's flipping back to my old view now, the further I get away from it, which is something I really want to avoid, because, you know, for a minute there, it's like I was Neo in the Matrix. I could see everything clearly. I understood everything. I got it, you know. Probably sounds cheesy now, but I think anyone who's been in that situation of, you know, and again, this probably sounds weird and fucking crazy, but when I was in hospital, it was like there were, well, this probably will make me sound crazy, but, you know, sort of like seeing the tunnel. You know when you hear people say things about seeing the tunnel or seeing people, that's what I saw. And it's pretty trippy, and it's something that's stayed with me. And I think the key for me personally to all this is hanging on to those, that feeling of being like Neo in the Matrix. I'm just going to have to cut back into this wood bit, although this means I've got the potential to walk into people, walk in their dogs. So I guess anyway, this is as much, this podcast, this episode, well, maybe not this episode, but this podcast, this whole worst appendix ever thing is, I'm doing it to figure out this whole thing, this whole period of my life, as much as I'm trying to help and inspire others. So, you know, listening to this now, you're on the, whether you like it or not, you're on the same journey as me. And I'm just going to be as honest as possible, which I am anyway, but the things I won't, you know, I'm going through a lot of stuff at the moment. I'm not in the house I was in when this happened to me. You know, yeah, going through a separation, etc., etc. It's very the kind of things that you have as you think are stable in your life. If something like this happens, it really tests everything. And most of all, it tests yourself. So I'm trying to deal with it positively and proactively, but it's hard. Don't get me wrong, it's hard. Even doing this podcast, it's hard. That's why I've taken to the whole walk and talk format, which, you know, so far so good. But as part of my recovery, I've started doing walks, not just in the woods, I couldn't go very far. I couldn't go very fast. You know, for the first at least 6 to 8 weeks, I was walking with a stick. They didn't give it to me at hospital, but I just ordered it from Amazon because I could tell I was going to need it, and I did. But my way of, and then I covered it in stickers. Like, I had a Jeff Goldblum sticker, had all sorts of stickers on there, and it's because it was my way of kind of reclaiming, okay, yeah, I need a stick to walk, but I'm still going to be my stick, you know. And that's, that was a weird thing, because it draws attention, you know. Someone my age walking with a stick draws attention to himself anyway, regardless of whether you want it or not. Obviously you don't want it, but if that stick has a big picture of Jeff Goldblum's face on it, you know, it just tends to draw even more attention. And it works both ways, because people will give you space if you're walking on the street or whatever, or I guess they look at you sympathetically, but then, you know, I've had it where, say, older people who have sticks themselves look at you like, you know, you don't need that stick. You're like, or they'll make some comment like, oh, what's up with you? And then I was like, well, I had this, and this, and I nearly died. I was told I would have died if I didn't call 999 with this. And you get into it, and then you see them glazing over and just walk away from you. I guess it's mildly amusing, in a kind of sick way. With regards to me right now, I should have checked what week it is, but it's at least, I'm 3 months out from surgery, and it was major surgery. It was keyhole surgery. There are 4 holes in me, so I've got 4 scars. The aching and pains that I had in my stomach are, and the whole basic front of my body, were getting less and less. There's still kind of, there's an ache or a pain all the time, but I've got very used to it, and compared to the pain it was before, it's negligible now. But I had to go to work this week to see my boss, and so I drove, and because now work is quite far away, so I had basically almost 3 hours in the car, and it's wiped me out. So that's kind of an indication of, you almost feel like, this is the thing I've learned, the way you think, although I said that stuff about seeing things differently in Neo and the Matrix, but you have all this learned behaviour that you, every day you're contributing to that. You know, and what I mean by that is, you walk in the same way, you know, you eat food in the same way, you climb stairs in the same way, you go to the toilet in the same way. And, you know, I'm 34 years old. I've been on the planet for, I think, around, you know, just over 12,000 days. That's a long time to do things that, you know, basic stuff you do in the same way. When something like this happens to you, all that goes out the window, because you can't do that stuff. All those things I said, like walking, eating, going upstairs, even going to the toilet, you can't do. And you can't, or when you can do them again, but you can't do them in the way that you used to, but your brain doesn't recognize that. So even something as simple as walking 10 feet in front of you, I'm talking about now, I'm talking about in the immediate aftermath, so sort of 6 weeks, in that first 6 weeks period, you can't, because it is day by day. But you think, I know how to walk, I can do it. I know how to climb these stairs. And you get halfway up and you're exhausted. And you have to relearn, or it's like you unlearn everything to relearn it again, which, I don't know, you could say it's a good thing. I think it's, obviously, I have to approach it as being a good thing, because I have no other choice. This is what I had to do. But it's just a bizarre thing. And where, I can't remember why I got on this train of thought, which is a bit annoying. I'm going to listen back to what I just said. Hang on. Base level, which is quite hard to do in a period of recovery, because it's, and what I mean by unlearning and relearning is that it all changes every day. Every day it's different. It's almost like every day you refresh and your base level is different to what it was yesterday, because it will depend on how much you did, how tired you are, etc., etc. Whereas in life normally, you generally have a pretty constant base level. Even if you're tired, you can still walk upstairs. It doesn't necessarily affect that. And so it's just, so, and with regards to my point, he said, so I guess I was thinking, you know, that long drive hit me for six. And I didn't think it was gonna, I thought I was fine. Which is ridiculous, because I've had two hospital appointments recently, one this week, one a couple of weeks ago, and they both said, due to the severity of my appendix and state I was in, it's going to take months to recover and recuperate fully. And the guy this week was like, yeah, this is why people used to die from appendicitis back in the day. So I think coupled with what I'm saying, I am also quite hard on myself, and you know, I think in the same way that I think gardening leave and a job is the dream, you know, where you get a period of time off, you're paid before you go to another job because you're going to a competitor or whatever. I think if you say to someone, oh, having 3 months off work sounds amazing, it's not when you're sick. It really isn't. And especially being through the things I've been through, it's good in respect, because it's something I don't necessarily have to worry about on top of everything else. But at the same time, you're never not thinking about it. But yeah, so in that time, so I've been trying to be as well proactive as I can within reason, working on some music when I can, and a weird annoying thing about this was I've had my next album written and ready to be recorded. It's been I've been working on it for 4 years now. It's a guitar piece, 30 minutes long, with I think there's 10 or 11 songs in there, but it all flows as one. And it's going to be recorded on the 10th of August. I had arranged everything, and I was in hospital on the 3rd of August, so that all went out the window. And I put stuff on my Instagram and stuff saying, new album coming soon, and then nothing. So I don't know if anyone out there is following what I'm doing musically. That's well, it hasn't been recorded yet, but it's ready to go. And that's all guitar. And then, because with my music, it's, if you ever listen to it, it's in general been this amalgamation, combination of guitar music and sort of electronic stuff. And I love both, and I love the combination of both. But more recently, I've been focusing on either all acoustic or all electronic. So I had these songs that I've been working on for years and years. Probably quite different to my previous output in that it's quite energetic. Not that my music isn't energetic, but it's dancey. And I know that sounds horrible and trite, but it's like electronic-y. I think it's cool. I think if you like my stuff, you should like it. Anyway, I've been working on this 4-song EP that is in the process of being mixed, but it won't come out now until 2018. So that's cool. I'm looking forward to that, but it does seem like a little way off in terms of all the work that will be needed to go with it. So that's something I've been working on. Then obviously doing these podcasts, and that was a bit of a mission to get. It was a bit weird to get it started, but now it just feels like a thing. It's really good. It's really just feel proactive and positive doing it. And I now have these two podcasts that whenever I feel the need to go and ramble in the forest, I've got a bit of an outlet to do that. That's pretty cool. So I must, again, as I always do, send a huge love out to Pavo and Pancast for inspiring and helping me get this out to your ears. And even if one person listens, then I think that's quite positive, because it is, I'm well aware it's just this ramble by me, but it's the process of figuring stuff out. I've said on other podcasts before, it's a work in progress, and nature of the medium, it's as much as it's I'm trying to help others, I'm also trying to help and figure out stuff for myself. And ultimately, hopefully, I can turn it into a big self-help endeavor type thing. And the other thing I've been working on in conjunction with all that is I have been working on writing a book. I think I mentioned this on the last episode, but yeah, one of my, it's weird when you're, well, in that whole really early state in hospital and at home, I would wake up, I wasn't really sleeping. I was sleeping for about an hour a day. So it's horrendous. But I would have it wasn't sleeping at all. It was in conjunction with my painkiller. So it's either the morphine or the paracetamol or whatever. It might even be an antibiotics or a combination of all three that they would give me about 1 or 2 in the morning. And when, for some reason, when that kicked in, I'd be on this massive high and I'd have all these ideas. And that did actually, that was lasting through, because sort of my first week at home after I was out of hospital, I was doing mad things at 2 o'clock in the morning. I spent like £120 on iTunes one night because I was trying to find all these positive songs to make a playlist. Then in the morning, you're like, oh my God, how much did I just... Anyway. So one brainwave I had when I was in hospital was like, God damn it, I'm going to write a book. I've always wanted to write a book. And I have. I've always wanted to write a book. I've always been interested in the process of writing. I do love reading, although I don't read enough. But in the current state that I'm in, I've bought a lot of self-help books. I'm trying to work my way through those. It's not a self-help book. The first one I read was Win or Learn by John Kavanagh, which is he's Conor McGregor's trainer. I'd highly recommend that book. It's the story of how he... I mean, it might not sound like it applies, but it does, really does, and it's to what I'm talking about. But he, it's basically his life story, how he took MMA from nothing to something in Ireland, and then essentially took over the sport of UFC with Conor McGregor. And Conor McGregor, as I'm sure everyone knows, but if you don't, then you need to get on it, is definitely someone worth listening to because he's highly inspirational and was, particularly in my recovery, hard recovery stage. He was very inspirational to me, as well as The Rock. This might be a good idea for a future podcast. He said, thinking out loud. But they're like just super positive people that in your everyday life you might not necessarily respond overtly to, but when you're in that, when I was in that state, they were like, The Rock had this advert, Apple advert for Siri that came out this summer, and I just thought it was everything that him and Conor McGregor were doing. Just watched YouTube videos, endless YouTube videos, I was just being inspired by them, because I was in that very open, kind of, I guess, vulnerable, welcoming state where I just wanted positivity. I just wanted to be inspired. I didn't want anything else because I was in pain. There's no other way to put that, really. So yeah, that's a good book. I'd highly recommend. What did I move on to then? The book I'm about to finish is called, this does directly relate to this podcast, and perhaps this episode in particular, but it's called The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. It's by Mark Manson, and I saw it on, I think Chris Hemsworth put up a Instagram about it, and I liked the cover, so, and the net and the title, so I just ordered it straight away. Probably at 2 o'clock in the morning when I ordered 100 books or something like that. I didn't go that crazy. I did spend, there was one night I spent £100 on stickers though. It's absolute madness. That's another episode maybe. The 2 o'clock in the morning, the power hour, the magic hour where you do insane things because you're high on drugs. So this book, Subtle Art of Giving a Fuck, it's very kind of straightforward, in your face, maybe quite obvious, but it addresses obvious things that you might be tackling, but that sound obvious when you read them, but aren't necessarily that obvious to you that you were going through them. I don't know if that makes sense, but I'd highly recommend that. I read the majority of it up on the train. I went to London to see a friend the other week, mainly to see if I could. And I've pretty much read the whole of that book there. But there's a good paragraph he's got on, good chapter, talking about, creativity. Oh, I want to sit on this bench, it's covered in bird shit. And he was talking, he's quoting this writer, apologies, I can't remember the name of the writer, but it's some guy who was very prolific. I think he'd written a huge amount of books. And they asked him a question, you know, how are you able to write so much stuff? And he just said, 200 crappy words a day. And the whole point being that and I've definitely felt this, as a creative, artistic person, you know, you've got to be in the right mood or right frame of mind to come up with your artistic masterpiece. And that is definitely true, but there's also the school of thought that you just need to just do it, and by the process of doing it, the inspiration will come. Because a lot of the time you can be just, I mean, definitely not what I do, is a lot of the time I just procrastinate, don't do anything, and then I'm struck by something, and then I can't stop working on it, you know, for hours and hours and hours and hours. and that sort of worked for me, but it's not consistent, and it leaves you in this constant state of flux and almost worry about when's the next bout of inspiration going to come from. And I think it's something that, you know, it's in you at all times. It's just accessing that, and the whole idea of the 200, because the 200 crappy words, I've been applying that to my writing with this book. 50,000 crappy words currently, but because I'd read that, I think it was either from Stephen King or Dan Brown. And it's the idea when you write, you make sure you write 1,000 words a day, and then you can be okay with that. So whenever I write, I was doing a solid period where I wrote every day, but the last 2 weeks have been pretty tough. A lot of stuff going on, so it's been pretty hard to write. But yesterday I just got to my computer and forced myself. I think it's also because I've got a bit in recounting my story that's particularly tough, and I don't necessarily want to go over it again at this time being, so I wrote on other things, and then, which is good, because I got that, you can write 200 words really quickly. It's not much at all, and then you think, well, I'm sitting here, I may as well write some more. So it's a good little trick of the trade. I guess because I thought I had a solid structure in place, but I'm currently now, even though I've been. I've tried to bring a sense of levity, and I'm not like, it's not going to be a doom and gloom book, it's supposed to be very positive, but I'm aware that the things I've gone through are, I don't know, I'm thinking, why would anyone want to read this book? So I'm currently thinking about it structurally, how, I had a very clear, like, there's three parts to it, what happened, then what happened after, and then in the first bit it's a bit about me, but the first part is I think it's currently called Catastrophe. I can't remember what the second part's called, and then the third part is basically teaching, so it's all the things I learned. I'm currently thinking whether I should splice those in a bit more, because I don't want anyone to be bummed out reading the book. I don't think they will be, but that's just a thought I had this week. And maybe I'll keep this podcast updated with the progress, because the book's called Worst Appendix Ever. So it will all tie in, hopefully. And if I will, originally I was just like, I'm going to put it out for free on Amazon, you know, like a Kindle book, but as I'm actually going through it, I am going to try, and I will research about sending it off to get published. So if anyone's listening that knows anything about that, please tweet me or get in touch. And if I, obviously, I mean, I don't expect to get it published properly by a publisher, but if not, I can, you know, there's ways and means to go independently. That's what I've done with my music, so. That's what I'll do, but it's something that I am 50,000 words into it, so that's quite, I'm probably halfway through, and then it's going to be a long case of working on drafts and stuff, because I'm not reading anything I'm doing I'm just writing, powering it out at the moment. But when I talk about structural changes, it is sort of, I am thinking about it now in terms of the way I would approach making an album, which I've done two of. You can check those out at my site, robjohnsonmusic.com. Shameless plug on my own podcast. But I'll update the book progress on this podcast. That might be an interesting thing to do. And then going back to that 200 crappy words, that isn't necessarily something I've found that works for guitar, because when I'm playing the guitar, you have to be in the right frame of mind. Like, I can sometimes pick up the guitar and then put it down again. And it's, that's the thing I love to do the most probably is play the guitar. And I think it's one of the things I'm best at. I've been doing it since I was like 8 or 9 years old. But sometimes you pick it up and you just don't, you know, there's nothing there. So that 200 crappy words, I think it can apply to a lot of things, but it definitely isn't a finite rule, but maybe it can work for you. So yeah, I think that just about wraps it up for the podcast this week. Hopefully I'll do another one of these next week, but I'm not promising anything at the moment. He said, after that whole long speech about 200 crappy words, 200 crappy podcasts, we'll see. So thanks for listening. If you are enjoying this or getting anything out of it, or even if you think it's crap or whatever, just shoot me a tweet and let me know. You can find me on Twitter for this podcast at Worst Appendix. I do have another podcast, like I said earlier, which is basically about films, pop culture, but mainly about Marvel, DC, Star Wars, and you can find that on iTunes. It's called From Here to Infinity War and Beyond. There's a Twitter for that, at Infinity War Pod. I'm hoping to get both these podcasts on Stitcher soon, but I'll be obviously tweeting about all that. And if you want to find out more about me or check out some of my music, you can find all the information you require at my website, which is robjohnsonmusic.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at robjohnsonmusic. Thanks for listening. Have a good week.